during a lack of sunshine in seemingly not so sunny Donegal is being blamed for vitamin D deficiency and increasing incidence of osteoporosis. Earlier this week, the Irish Times reported that from the 10,000 vitamin D test results, a Letterkenny University lab found 75% of samples had insufficient vitamin D. Low levels of vitamin D are one of the leading causes of bone disease. Brittle bones, 300,000 people across Ireland. Well, in our Waterford studio is the registered dietitian Aoife Hearn.
Good morning, Marion.
Good morning to you, and thank you indeed for coming to talk to us. The numbers, percentages seem shocking, and one wonders if that applies, and we don't know, around the rest of the country. But is that because we've become more conscious of barrier creams and factor 50 and factor 60 and we should wear them three, including our friends on holidays down in West Cork?
Absolutely. I know. I suppose it is quite shocking, isn't it? And, you know, coming from the sunny southeast, maybe we don't have as many concerns down here. But we know that, you know, sunlight is important for vitamin D activation, for helping the body to absorb calcium and to keep those bones really strong. And, you know, yes, potentially the use of barrier creams and sun creams, you know, are, I suppose, really important now because we know how the negative impact of skin cancer and how common it is in Ireland. But also, I suppose, I would say there are lots of different factors that can affect calcium intake and vitamin D. And I think, I suppose, as a dietitian, you know, I really want to encourage people to make sure that they're making choices that are helping their bones stay strong and stay healthy.
How do you do that? I was listening to somebody else discussing it as well and talking about supplements. Don't normally talking to people like you, you say you don't need substance, you need a good diet.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think there's also, you know, there's time and a place for everything, and maybe in the winter months, you know, taking a vitamin D supplement is a wise idea, and especially in parts of the country that don't get as much sunlight. You can get like an undertongue spray vitamin D supplement that tends to absorb very well, and you can get that at any chemist around the country. So that can be a good option. Oily fish and eggs are also good options.
Come on, you spray under the tongue like every day of the year?
I generally recommend my patients to do it in the winter months. So we know that like the sun we get from, I suppose, late March to early September tends to be, you know, at the right height in the sky. It has the right UVB rays that are actually going to help you form that vitamin D under your skin.
How much exposure
do you need?
Would you need of UVB rays?
We're not 100% sure. Their recommendation seems to be around 10 minutes to 15 minutes a day. It doesn't always have to be in the 1 10-minute time frame. It can be spread throughout the day. And the other thing to remember is vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, so you can store it not too long, for maybe 30 to 60 days. So, you know, again, if you're getting a lot of sunlight in the summer, it maybe is going to help you get to Christmas time, and then maybe those early months in the winter is no harm to take a vitamin D spray. Maybe no harm also to keep it like with your toothbrush in the morning so you don't forget it. So
right.
We all have great intentions, and sometimes it's hard putting them into practice, you know.
And in terms of food and drink, what's recommended?
So we know oily fish like salmon, sardines, for example, are good choices. Eggs have about one microgram of vitamin D per egg. Fortified products then also are a really good backup. So we think of things like fortified milk particularly, and it's very easily accessible all across the country. So, you know, that's for kids especially, it is really a wise choice.
And does it work, the fortifying in the milk?
Sunlight is going to be your best option, and potentially then supplementation with the undertongue spray is good. And then it's looking at getting all these different places where vitamin D is and using them all throughout your diet on a regular basis, so that the overall impact is that you're getting, currently in Ireland, we're recommended to get about 10 micrograms a day. In countries like Norway, they actually recommend 20 micrograms. So,
wow.
You know, there are variances across. And there's a lot of research around vitamin D going on at the moment. And I suppose we can't forget the importance of calcium as well. And, you know, there is a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of what people would call Nutribabble, saying that, you know, calcium is not good for us. But again, our dairy products are going to be, are not good for us. But, you know, our dairy products like milk, cheese and yogurt are really great sources of calcium and a really good thing in my mind to have in your diet on a regular basis.
And the role the vitamin D plays is to help you absorb calcium that you might get through your diet.
It helps you to absorb under your skin. It actually helps to activate the calcium and helps you absorb it, absolutely. So, you know, getting that vitamin D then is an important part role with the calcium. Some things then to keep in mind that can, you know, we have a lot of people maybe in Ireland that have undiagnosed celiac disease, and so that can be a risk factor for the body not absorbing calcium very well and then also leading to things like osteoporosis. So gluten in and of itself is not something that stops our body absorbing calcium, only if you have celiac disease, which is about 1% of the Irish population. But again, I would have had patients in my clinic who got diagnosed with celiac disease following frequent fractures. So again, it's something to keep in mind, and you know, most GPs around the country would be very aware of that and would test for it.
Can you test for vitamin D?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is an expensive test, so I suppose it's not something that we want everyone running out to their GP on Monday saying they want a vitamin D test. But, you know, we
How expensive is it?
Actually, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's probably more expensive than our routine blood screen. So, you know, we look at people who may be, you know, nutritionally compromised, the elderly who may be inside a lot and not getting a lot of sunlight. You know, they can be people who would be at increased risk. And so we would look at testing those to see where their levels are at.
And if you find out, and there are DEXA tests as well.
So a DEXA scan is something that assesses your bone density, and so it doesn't necessarily look at your vitamin D status. It's going to look at your bone density and assess if you have osteopenia, which is, you know, weaker bones, but not necessarily, it's a stage before osteoporosis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that you know, many people will get that done right across the country. And again, you know, post-menopausal women are at increased risk. So it is a smart thing to have done.
Right. And can you, if somebody goes in and has it and they are osteopenic or indeed they have full osteoporosis, can it be reversed?
It depends. I suppose we definitely know if people have undiagnosed celiac disease, for example, as a reason for it, depending on their age, that once they avoid gluten, then that bone density can be improved. There's lots of medications out there now that will help improve bone status, that can help. So it may be a case that maybe you can't reverse it completely, but it definitely can improve. And I suppose the things we would look at when I work with someone who maybe has been diagnosed with osteoporosis, you know, we look at making sure they're getting enough calcium in their diet, that they're getting vitamin D. And also, I suppose, remembering that weight-bearing exercise is really important. And we are seeing that people are a little less active and more sedentary, and so that type of exercise that you're, you know, moving, not necessarily swimming, more things like walking, maybe jogging, weight bearing exercise is really good for your bones as well. So really want to encourage
people
to do those
types of things. It's kind of having impact, isn't that the idea?
The impact is helping to keep those bones strong, absolutely.
Right, and that can apply at any age, or is it for older people?
No, at any age. So again, you know, that whole idea of moving more is something that's really important. And it's not just about, you know, weight, I suppose, which is what we often focus on exercise on. You know, it has so many other impacts and positive benefits for our body. And we want to encourage people to be doing all these things that are going to help keep our bones strong. And then keeping in mind that, I suppose, what we're seeing a little bit more now is that we're seeing osteoporosis becoming a little bit more common in men more common in men than we would have seen in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at, I suppose, our younger people now, you know, your bone density, you're really developing that strong bone until your late teens. We're seeing a lot of teenagers not drinking calcium products and maybe drinking more colas and things like that, that can really negatively impact on bone density also.
I remember somebody else saying to us, a while ago, that some kind of teenagers are now heading for osteoporosis because they don't, well, I suppose there are loads of countries that don't drink milk, but we used to get so much from drinking milk, and that taking all the soft drinks doesn't do it.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose the soft drinks are displacing some of these good things like milk as a fluid choice, but also calcium and phosphorus in our body have to be kept at a certain level. And so when we look at our colas that have a lot of phosphorus in them, they can impact on calcium in our bones. And I suppose the other thing to think about is for people who maybe choose to be vegan or who don't want to drink dairy products, you know, there are non-dairy sources of calcium as well. So things like broccoli, figs, rhubarb are great choices, but it is to keep in mind you need nearly 14 cups of broccoli to get around your daily requirement of calcium. So it is a much bigger challenge, I guess.
The very thought of 14 cups of broccoli.
That's not enjoyable for anyone, believe me.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I hate to show prejudice against anybody, but not broccoli. Anyway, listen, thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us. That was Aoife Hearn. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.